I'm going to tell you something. Now, I shared this first service, and it didn't fix anything, okay? But first thing this morning, I spoke to the one-man band, and I said, is there anything I can do to help? And I'm going to give you his exact quote. No. So you just run solo. Man, I would have been so amazing on that last song, too. So, anyway. Man, we're excited to be here today. If you watched Texas Tech yesterday, baseball, not basketball. If you watched basketball, let's just have a moment of silence. But if you watched baseball, you probably saw Pastor Travis dancing. So him and his family had opportunity to go to the tournament in Arlington. And so they're there, and man, we celebrate that. That's one of the good things about having three of us, having three pastors here, is when we have situations, whether it be opportunity or circumstance, we can be out of pocket, and it doesn't challenge the service. Found out a couple of 3 weeks ago that he was going to be away, and I was excited when I looked to see that this is the first Sunday of Lent. How many know what Lent is? A few. My first exposure to Lent was back with the post office. I was working at the post office, and there was a gentleman that worked at the post office, and his name was Franco, and he was a disabled vet, had been to Nam or World War I, or anyway, he'd been one of those wars. And he smoked a pipe, always smoked a pipe. And he was a little shaky, and so he would scatter ash, right? And so I came around the corner one day, and Franco wasn't lit up, you know. Back then, you could smoke in the house, for you younger people. We used to get the smoke in the house. We called those the good old days. So I came around the corner, and Franco wasn't smoking. I said, Franco, did you quit? Because I looked, his pipe wasn't there. I mean, he wasn't smoking. He said, no, I gave it up for Lent. And I said, well, I didn't know you was a religious man. And he pulled his pocket and turned them inside out. And he said, no, I'm broke. All I got is Lent. And so this was B.C. This was before Christ. So anyway, when I came to Christ, when I became a follower, this word Lent kept coming up. Lent. What is Lent? And I'm going to tell you, Lent is a 40-day period. It begins, we had Fat Tuesday. Everybody knows about Fat Tuesday? Funny y'all know about Fat Tuesday, but you don't know about Ash Wednesday. Huh? You know about Fat Tuesday, though. Ash Wednesday, 40 days from Ash Wednesday, where you take and you look at Christ, you look at yourself, and you reconcile the difference. We take those 40 days, and whether we fast, you know, you decide you're not going to eat sugar, I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. Man, I got Girl Scout cookies in my truck. I'm eating sugar. You decide that you're not going to watch TV. Football's over. It doesn't matter, right? For the record, at halftime, the Cowboys were ahead. And I really thought they were going to pull it out. It was that close. First half was horrible, wasn't it? You can decide that you're not going to go on social media. Oh, man, that would be an amazing fast for most of us. But you take that time and you take that energy and you even take that resource and you put it back in the kingdom of God. And during that time, you're looking at Christ and you're looking at yourself and you're reconciling the difference. This first week of Lent. So then I looked at the lectionary and I wasn't happy. The lectionary has chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Let me read it to you. Mark chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. A voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. He was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. I thought to myself, what does this have to do with Lent? How can I tie this into Lent? How can I make this transition? Where are these things in? What is common? If we were in Matthew or if we were in Luke, you see, this is an exhaustive story. And this story of the temptation of Christ, we could go into the varied questions and his reply and what that says to us and what that mentions to us. But in the book of Mark, he just gives us high points. Jesus was baptized. God was pleased. The Holy Spirit led him. He was tempted. The angels served him. And now it's over. To this point, I actually struggled with the text. I told Brian, I said, I'm probably not going to use the text. Probably going to move away from it. We know that temptation is not from God. James says no man can say he was tempted by God. If we're reconciling us and God, we can't put temptation in that equation. And then I began to look. I continued to look. And the only thing that stood out, the only thing that actually captured my thought and my imagination, was that he was in the desert 40 days. Desert, 40 days. It began to ring true to me. I don't know how many of you, do we have any resolutionaries here? Resolutionaries. You know that New Year's resolution? A resolutionary, where you decided you're going to do something this year. You know, and we know it's good for 6 days or 6 weeks. Right? The resolution. One of my resolutions this year was to work out. I'm going to start that any day now. I'm thinking a promise is a promise. And one of these days, I'm going to start working out. Now, one of the things that we're doing this year, if you don't know this, and I'm going to push this as long as I can, every morning at 6:30, or you can watch it anytime during the day, if you go to Wake Up in the Word, Wake Up in the Word Facebook page, you'll find on most mornings either me or Brad Keeling, or maybe me and Brad Keeling, as we are walking through the Word of God. We started in Genesis 1:1. We're going to finish in Revelation in December. We are going through the whole of the Word as it comes to us. To this point, we got through Leviticus. You know what Leviticus is, right? That's where Bible studies go to die. The most... It's like, God, what... Man, just... Let's just rip those pages out. Why waste the paper? We got through Leviticus. We're in Numbers. Numbers is better than Deuteronomy. And then we get to Joshua. And Joshua's exciting. See, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. So we're excited as we're moving. But in a year, we're going to resolve. If you're not in a Bible study and you have Facebook, come see us. You don't have Facebook? Go on YouTube. Go on YouTube. Wake Up in the Word. You can watch it on YouTube. Put it on fast speed and look what Brad looks like when he's hyped up. He's way too animated. But you can go through the whole Word of God this year. Let me go back. I digress. We just, before Leviticus, we came through Exodus. And here's what I remember about Exodus, is that they were in the wilderness, they were in the desert for 40 years. Christ was in the desert for 40 days. He was in the wilderness. Desert, wilderness, same word. That word is a place of dependence on God. If I tell you that God has got me in the wilderness, that doesn't mean He puts me in a position of lack. That is to say, He puts me in a position to where I must depend on Him. Right? Where I must depend on Him. As I continue to work through this text, the word speaks of the obvious. They have passed out of Egypt. They have passed through the water. He, Christ, was baptized. That this context in Exodus, as well as the context in Mark, are talking about one who is saved. One who has escaped from Egypt. The Egyptian army has been destroyed. The sin, the addiction, the struggle of your life has been destroyed. Amen? Amen? You as a follower of Christ, you have escaped the enemy of God. You are now a child of God. Amen. Stay with me on this. You are now a child of God. Now we began to think and we declare that if things don't go our way, it must be the enemy. You see, I must be tempted. And there's where the struggle comes. Is we want everything to be a demon. Got bad news for you. Speaking to self, fat ain't a demon. He's not exercised out unless it's done on a gym. Cast him out, exercise him. You can't speak to fat. And I say that because I have that, so I don't have to point at anybody else. Stupid is not a demon. You can't cast out stupid. Stupid is DNA. And it's in there. Sometimes you just have to deal with it. We find this people, they have passed through the Red Sea. They're being led by Christ into the wilderness. And then there's this word, and there's a teaching of first use. We come into chapter 15 and we have this word that pops up out of nowhere. And that word is test. Test. No one likes a test. Much less a test by God. What are your chances of passing that test? Test administered by God. Unless we can think about it different. For some years, about 10 years, I worked for water systems for Smitty. You remember Smitty, Mr. Smith. And every month, we took water in for testing. When we took the water in, they didn't try it. They didn't stress it. They didn't attack it. They measured it to determine its characteristics and impurities. The same way that we look at Christ and we look at ourselves and we reconcile, we measure, we evaluate the difference. The testing of God to determine the qualities and identify the impurities. We're going to be looking at a few texts, but just to give you some reference, Exodus 15:25. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there He tested them. Exodus 16 and 4. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Exodus 20:20, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, God has come to test you." To realize that we are not being tempted, but we are being tested. We are being proven, we are being measured, evaluated as to determine what is the qualities and the impurities that need to be resolved. Again, when you push back, if you would take it, to coin a phrase, from the 30,000 foot view and look at this event, there's one thing that you notice, and that is that God's people are only tested in the wilderness. God's people were never tested in Egypt. God's people were never tested in the promised land. You, my friends, you may say, well, before I became a Christian, life was a whole lot easier. Well, that's probably true, except that you was going to die if you didn't go to jail, or you may go to jail and die. That your life was not only being reckless, being lost, but your life was going down in every way possible. And He, Christ, rescued you. He brought you out of Egypt. He brought you through the waters. He set you on the promised land. We are never tested except in the desert. Let me tell you one of the tests I struggle with. I struggle with it today. Number one, my ear itches. So we'll get past that. I struggle. You'll get this or you won't. You ever watch the news, people? You ever watch people on the news? And today, on 42nd and Slide, it is reported that the police have apprehended, and they automatically go into their speaker voice. I struggle in my preacher voice. Sorry, YouTube or TV or whatever you are. See, down here I can be Alan. And I can say, what do you think? I can say, that's a great example. I feel Wednesday night, that's why Wednesday night's our favorite. Because on Wednesday night, we get to be who we are. See, I can just be Alan. Travis gets to be Travis. Pastor Brian gets to be Pastor Brian. And it's just that thing. But then there's something about the immediate moment that you step on the stage. You begin to articulate different. You see, the reason I say that is because I want you to hear this from Alan. I want you to hear my experience. Not the voice of a narrator. I tried first service to turn this off. I'd have to move down there. And if I moved down there, they wouldn't be able to see me on Facebook, which would be their loss. It really would. I mean, I get it. But what God is calling His people to be, what this testing is to establish, He's calling them to be better. To amplify the God-like characteristic that's in us and to root out the impurities that separate us from Him. Those things that so easily beset us, Hebrews said. Not to prove anything to God. Not to earn His favor. But instead, to simply convince you and I that we are children of the living God, and He loves us. We are children of the living God, and He loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. We take that and we make it about everlasting life. If you want to get to heaven, phew, there it is. No. We make it about if you would believe in him. No. It's whosoever would. No. It's about God gave his Son. When I'm telling you, that verse is about how much God loves you. Amen. You. With all of your stupid DNA. Loves you. In your reckless nature. Loves you in spite of your impurities. I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to tell it on my daughter. She's not here, so she'll come to church to defend herself, or she'll just hear about herself. Long time ago, she called and she goes, "Dad, are you going to be busy tonight?" I said, "I ain't got anything planned. Why, what's up?" She goes, "Well, I just wonder if you'd be available." So, okay, well, yeah, what's up? And she said, "Well, we're going to drink alcohols." The fact that she called them alcohols, I felt pretty safe. That this was her first adventure. "We're going to drink alcohols." Okay, and she goes, "Well, can I call you if I need you?" And I said, "Absolutely, 100%. What I should have said is, "No, ma'am, you call me, I'll call the cops. They'll haul you in, you little drunk pizza." Sometime later she called. And it was like, "So you, are you?" "No, I just had a few." "Are you drunk?" "No, but I've been drinking. So I just don't think it's safe." If she had been, oh man, I wish we weren't on TV. Really, really drunk. Did I cover that well? If she'd been really, really like, this dad would have been there to rescue her. Amen? Amen. Because I love my baby. I love my baby girl. But somehow, we think that the creating God, the God that created you in his image, man, he looks at you and he goes, "He's got my eyes." You see that, don't you? Like there are two of them and they're really far apart. Got one looking this way, one looking. As he looks at you and he sees his nature in you growing up. It's funny, man. You see a little baby, I don't like babies. They're not real people, man. I know. Go ahead, women. Men, am I right? You can't say nothing. Just, oh, shh. But when they become young men, and you see that young man, and you see his daddy walking in him, see, that's exciting. You see a young man come up, and his daddy's walking. You see, man, you see the nature of his old man. Good, bad, or indifferent, you see the nature of his old man. See, God looks at you, and he goes, "You notice how much he's looking like me? Have you noticed how he's looking like me? He loves you that much." That's what all of this is about. That's what the test is about. It's about maneuvering you, pushing you, stretching you into his likeness. We struggle in the wilderness with fear of lack when he wants to give us abundance. We measure our anxiety. He offers us rest. We're captured by fear. His answer is love. We have worry and despair when he says there's trust, there's providence, there's peace, there's gratitude, there's thankfulness, all available to you. Three texts that I want to look at demonstrate the struggle. Exodus, again in 15, it says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. They went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter." That's why the place is called Marah. "So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?' Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw the piece of wood into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law. There he tested." I want you to hear this. Now, there's 613,000 military-age men. 613,000, according to Numbers. We believe that they probably had at least one wife. Let's say one wife, so the majority will be happy. And 2.3 children. We probably could round up, but we're going to round down. So we got 613,000 men with their wives and two children. So we got 2.4 million people. 2.4 million people. At least. Who are thirsty. This ain't counting their animals and their livestock. 2.4 million people. They came across a body of water that was bitter. God said to Moses, throw this stick in it. Well, what's that going to fix? I want you to think about the water just at a quart per person, that's 600,000 gallons a day, not counting animals and livestock. Take this stick, throw it in the water. Moses did it because God said, do it. You see, Moses was in the wilderness, depending on God. God said, throw a stick in the water. He threw a stick in the water. The water became sweet. And all of Israel was blessed by it. Just let me make a reference, just a point. We, you and I, we look at Christ, we look at ourselves, and there's a bitterness in us that separates us from God. Amen or oh me. God says, if you'll throw a stick in it, what do you mean? Declare it. Make it true. Make it true. Throw a stick in it. I am self-consumed. I know that about me. I've been that way most of my life. It's hard not to be self-consumed when you're the smartest person in most rooms. Outside of this room, y'all understand what I mean. I say that only because I believe it. I believe it because I grew up very poor and had nothing and didn't have parents. And I was the odd cat out. I was the odd duck. I wore somebody else's clothes. I never had my own clothes until I was old enough to buy my own clothes. And they didn't fit. You see, the side was cinched up and the legs were cut off with scissors. And because of that young man who was so insecure, and so the only way that I could survive is I threw up this facade. I threw up this mask that said, I'm so much better than you because you're stupid. And I wore that mask till I believed that mask to be true. And I still, on occasion, have to stop and take the mask off. Become real with who I am. See, that's a bitter root in the water. See, when I said that, you laughed until I told you it's because I believe it. And then there was a difference. Because suddenly you saw that bitter spot in me. You saw that thing in me that I have to throw at. I have to take and say, not of God. Allow God to heal me. To allow God to heal that little boy. I thought he had to put a mask on to be accepted. What's sad is most of you have a similar mask. It may be painted different. this people thought it was a famine, but it was a test. Moving to Exodus 16, verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all of the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve the entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses — Moses didn't have to go to God, God heard his people — "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them to see if they will follow my instructions." They thought it was a famine, but it was a test. As God the provider said, "I know you're struggling, I know you're hungry, but I want you to see that I will provide all of your needs according to my riches and glory." There was a season in our life, and my wife can actually verify this, where we were broke. We were so broke that broke people were giving us money. I mean, you're broke when broke people are helping. And we didn't know what we was going to do. And one day, I don't remember which one of us went to the mailbox and came back, and there was a check in it. There's a check in the mail, and it's like, what is that? And it's like, refund for deposit. Who knew we put up a deposit? Okay. Well, we went out the next day, and there was a check in the mail. Overpayment for services. Go out, and there's a check. And early birthday. Birthday's in July. I think it was in February. It came to this point, and I don't know if week, 10 days, my wife was going out, and I said, "Where are you going?" And she says, "I'm going out to get the checks." Because we had become so accustomed to God supplying all of our need, for God to rain down manna. Oh, there wasn't excess, but we had what we needed for the day. We had adequate for the day. Because God, our provider, he said, "I will rain down manna." Go out every day. Go out every day and pick up the manna. Sufficient for the day. They thought it was a season of lack, of loss, but it was a test brought by God. Chapter 17. The whole Israelite community set out in the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped in Rephidim. Love those words. But there was no water for the people, so they quarreled with Moses. They grumbled before. They got upset. Now they're going to quarrel. "Give us water to drink." And Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there. And they grumbled against Moses. And they said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Moses cried out to the Lord, and he said, "What am I going to do? They're ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses. He said, "Walk ahead of the people. Take with you the elders, staff in your hand. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb." He goes and he strikes the rock. And the word says that water came from this rock and the people drank. Water came from the rock and the people drank. They called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Remember, this is 2.4 million people. He strikes a rock, and there is rivers of living water that came forth from this rock, sufficient to water this great number of people. This is not a trickle. This is not a stream. This is an abundance of water. They thought it was a famine, but it was a test to see if they would believe that he was the God present. Do you believe that he is the God, your healer, that one who rectifies, who changes the innermost part of your being, that bitter root, if you will. We don't think of healing as the physical. Sometimes the healing needs to be emotional. Sometimes it needs to be spiritual. If you thought about this, God, your healer, have you thought, have you celebrated, have you recognized the God, your provider? Have you looked at, have you thought about, have you celebrated the God who is always present? We do. We do. Man, when things, I left the post office. What was I thinking? You talk about a bird's nest on the ground. Man, they just, I mean, you talk about checks in the mail. Check was in the mail. And the church talked, I say the church talked me out of it. No, I'll tell you what. I was in the wilderness and God said, will you trust me? Amen. So I have to look back. And I have to think of 10 days of checks. I have to think of marked down on our home, $40,000. So we could afford it. I have to think of how God brought us to Lubbock. How I told my employer, I don't want to work. I just want to get a check and keep my benefits in place. And she said, well, I have 2 spots available. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm an employer and you come to me and you say, I don't want to work. I just want a check. I'm going to tell you to go talk to Jerry. Because he's looking for people that just want a check and don't want to work. How God moved miraculous. How we put our Big Spring. Big Spring's a wonderful place to be from. When we said what we wanted to get for our house, the lady said, you'll never get that. And I said, but that's what I want. She said, you'll never get it. I said, I know, but that's what I want. She said, well, I'll list it, but you'll never get it. I said, I know, but that's what I want. And she calls me some days later and she says, okay, I need to make a proposal to you. I said, okay. She said, he wants to pay full price and pay you rent if he can move in right away. I said, let me think about it. And it was funny. There's a hush on the other end of the line. She goes, really? I'm like, no. Full price is what we were hoping for. And he's going to pay extra. Fast forward. Man, we're running out of time and I don't care. Fast forward. We sell the house. We get the profit. Got a little kid. Got 8 cavities. Left the post office. Ain't got insurance. Sold a house. Have profit. Because God rained down manna on that day to cover our need. We put the check in the mail. We wrote a check of almost the exact same amount. Because God gave us. He was our provider. This people, they were in this cycle. Crisis, struggle, worry, rebellion, miracle. Crisis, struggle, worry, rebellion, miracle. Crisis, struggle, worry, rebellion, miracle. And they couldn't seem, as a matter of fact, it looked like they were moving away from God. If you look at it, you have to look and see what is not there. And I'll tell you what is lacking as we walk through the book of Exodus. Gratitude. Gratitude. There is no thanksgiving. There is no thankfulness. Brings me to 4 points I want to make, and then I'll wrap this up. Don't know what you're worried about today. Don't know what your struggle is today. But I dare say that your struggle is a test. Your struggle is an opportunity for you to declare who God is, what He has done, and what He is doing in your life. I dare say whatever you are worried about today is a test. Number 2, You cannot cast out worry. It's not a demon. No more than ugly. Can't cast out old. You can't cast out bald. I've tried.
That demon's growing every day.
You cannot cast out worry. You can only displace it with trust. You can only displace it with trust. Short man, I hate the clock. I remember my grandmother. My grandfather was struggling and he couldn't sleep, and there was a dog barking. And my grandmother stood at the window and she said, "In the name of Jesus, stop." And that dog began to yelp and he ran into the distance. And every time my grandmother would get struggled, every time my grandmother would come up against something, she would say, "You remember that dog? We were looking out the window and we spoke to the dog in Jesus' name. And the same Jesus that spanked that dog into eternity is the same Jesus that will celebrate, that will resolve our issue today." As she looked back, and she didn't allow worry to consume her, but she began to declare trust in her life. Trust is not a decision. Trust is a muscle. Trust is not a decision. Trust is a muscle. It must be exercised. I'm trying to hurry. The nursery is looking through the window. I'm trying to hurry. It is not a spirit. It's not a decision. It's a muscle. We must exercise it every day. How do we exercise it? By declaring it. By declaring the truth of what God has done. How do we do that? Gratitude. Number four, gratitude and thanksgiving. Build up the muscle that is trust. We're talking about the God who heals you. We're talking about the God who provides for you. We're talking about the God who is always there. The God who never leaves you nor forsakes you. The question is, when was the last time that you celebrated Him? When was the last time you were grateful? When was the last time, in the midst of your famine, you celebrated what God had done? Look at Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to close with this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will again say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with celebration of who God is, what God did in your life. With thanksgiving, present your request. He doesn't tell you not to request. He says to proceed it with a celebration of who God is. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be gratitude, we find ourselves and we think we're in the desert because God hates us. No, God put us in the desert because He wants to prove His love to us. He wants to prove His love to you. In your lack, celebrate who God is. Celebrate. You say, "Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through." I know what you're not going through today. Amen. Man. Right? You don't know what I've done. I know what you ain't doing today. Yeah, but I went to prison. Served your time. Good for you. High five, man. We're done with that, right? We don't reach back to Egypt and identify with our sin. We reach forward to the kingdom of God and identify with our blessings. I'm not a name it and claim it type guy. Right? Blab it and grab it. But I do believe that we have to enunciate, speak the truth. Oh, He's been good to me. Amen. Song said, "Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He saved my body. He healed my mind. He found me. It was just in time. I'm going to praise His name." Oh, He's always the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. As we celebrate what God's done in my life, in anticipation of what He's going to do in yours. Amen. Man, let's stand together. Invite you to join me. Let us share the Lord's Prayer. Who do we pray to?
Our Father.
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Father God, we love you. Master, we stand before you, celebrating who you are. Master, all that you've done. God, open our eyes to see the miracles that you perform every day before us. Oh, God, give us your attention. Let our attention be directed at you in such a way that we cannot deny your healing. We cannot deny your providing. God, we cannot deny your presence. And in that we would celebrate all that you are doing. Father, we look at you and we know that you love us. So for this, your people, God, would you bless and keep, guide and guard? Cause your face to shine upon them. God, be gracious to each of them and all of them. Let your countenance be turned as well. The peace of God be established in each and every life, each and every home, each and every family. We come in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. Bless you all.